I want to tell you about my second favorite mountain.
Chcem vám povedať o mojom druhom obľúbenom vrchu.
It's just a little shorter than the Krivan.
Je len trošičku nižší ako Krivan.
It's only about, it's almost the same height, but about 200 meters lower.
Je skoro taký istý, možno nejakých 200 metrov je nižší.
And I'm thinking of the time when this mountain also was covered with lightning and thunder, like we saw yesterday on Krivan.
A ja chcem vám hovoriť o čase, keď ten vrch bol zakrytý tiež oblakom a boli tam blesky, tak ako včera ten Krivan.
I have climbed this mountain many times.
Ja som mnohokrát na ten vrch vystúpil.
It is called Jebel Musa.
Ten vrch sa volá Jebel Musa.
The mountain of Moses.
A to je Mojžišova hora.
I see some pastors shaking their heads. Some have climbed. Have you climbed Jebel Musa?
Niektorí ľudia kývu, že to tiež zliezli.
Anybody been? Okay, so there have been some who have climbed. And it's especially fun to climb at about 2 o'clock in the morning in the darkness.
Keď chcete na ten vrch vystúpiť, tak musíte začať o 2 ráno po tme.
And you arrive just as the sun is rising.
A na vrch vyjdete práve vtedy, keď slniečko vychádza.
And you can see range after range of mountains becoming brighter and brighter until the sun leaps over the horizon.
A potom vidíte, ako tie vrcholky sa sfarbujú stále bližšie a bližšie a potom zrazu vyskočí spoza obzoru slnko.
Now most people that climb Mount Sinai climb Jebel Musa, the higher mountain.
Väčšina ľudí, ktorí idú na Sinaj, tak idú na ten najvyšší vrch, Jebel Musa.
It's not too hard to climb Jebel Musa.
Nie je to veľmi ťažké vystúpiť na Jebel Musa.
It's tiring, but not dangerous.
Je to únavné, ale nie je to vôbec nebezpečné.
You go up around the backside on what they call the camel path.
Oni chodí sa tam takou zadnou cestou, ktorá sa volá chodník tiav.
You can actually ride a camel halfway up the mountain.
Dokonca môžete sa tam aj na ťave nechať vyviesť.
Or you can climb 2,500 steps that have been cut in the rock all the way to the top.
Ale môžete tam vystúpiť aj cez 2,500 schodov, ktoré sú tam rovno v skale vytesané úplne na vrch.
But this mountain has actually two peaks.
Tento vrch má dva vrcholy.
One is Jebel Musa, it's higher.
Ten vyšší sa volá Jebel Musa.
And then there is a little saddle, just like the saddle we were on yesterday.
A potom je tam také sedlo.
And they call this Elijah's valley.
A volajú to Eliášovo údoličko. Eliášovo údolie.
And then there is another peak that comes up this way.
Druhý vrchol.
It's called Rasaf Safa.
Rasaf Safa.
Which means the hill of the willow trees. Willow trees. You have willow trees?
Aha, v preklade to znamená vrch vrby.
Okay. And this one is very hard to climb.
A na tento sa dostať je veľmi ťažké.
The first time I tried to find the trail, I missed the way and I almost lost my life on the cliffs there on Rasaf Safa.
Keď som sa tam prvýkrát snažil dostať, tak som stratil chodník a dostal som sa do takej strminy a skoro som si tam ublížil.
But if you find the right way, there is a narrow gully that you can go up that gully to the very top.
A keď nájdete tú správnu cestu, tak tam je veľmi taká úzka štrbina, ktorú sa dá vyjsť hore.
And from the top of Rasaf Safa, you can look straight down, 1,000 meters straight down to the valley below.
A práve z tohoto vrcholu môžete vidieť priamo dole na tú rovinu, ktorá je tam, veľmi hlboko pod vami.
Down below is called the Plain of Er Ra.
A toto údolie sa volá planina Era.
And it is, I only know miles and not kilometers. It is like 2 miles wide and 1 mile 2 miles long and 1 mile wide. So.
Takže je to 2 mile široké, to znamená nejak 3,5 kilometra široké a 1,5 kilometra dlhé a 1,5 kilometra široké.
Perfectly flat.
Úplne rovné.
With just a little rise right in the middle where I think the sanctuary was located. when it was first built.
V strede je taký mierny kopček, o ktorom si ja myslím, že tam zrejme asi musela stať svätyňa.
And the sand is perfect for pitching tents and pounding the stakes into the tents.
A ten piesok tam je úplne ideálny na to, aby sa tam dali stavať stany.
I'm convinced that this is where the children of Israel camped before Mount Sinai.
Ja som presvedčený, že toto je práve miesto, kde táborili Izraeliti pod vrchom Sinaj.
And God showed his mighty display of power with the lightning and the thunder on top of Rasaf Safa.
A Pán Boh prejavoval svoju moc prostredníctvom bleskov a hromov práve na tomto vrchole Rasaf Safa.
And I can just imagine that day when God appeared there on Mount Sinai.
Snažím sa predstaviť si ten deň, keď sa Pán Boh zjavil na tomto vrchu Sinaj.
And he did all the lightning, all the pyrotechnics on the mountain.
A keď sa tam na tom vrchu prejavila všetko to blízkanie.
And the people, what were they doing in the camp?
Čo robili ľudia v tábore?
They were afraid.
Strašne sa báli.
They were terrified.
Úplne boli zdesení.
In fact, Paul remembers the terrors of Mount Sinai almost 2,000 years later.
Dokonca Pavel si zapamätal a popisuje tú hrôzu 2000 rokov neskôr.
We read about it in Hebrews chapter 12.
V liste Židom v 12. kapitole.
Verses 18 to 20.
No, od 18. do 20.
Hebrews 12, 18 to 20.
Takže Židom 12 od 18. verša do 20.
It's, read those three verses. For you have not come to a mountain that may be touched.
Nepribližujte sa k hmatateľnému a plápolajúcemu ohňu, ani k čierňave, k temnote alebo búrke, ani k hlasu polnice a zvuku slov. Tí, čo ho počuli, prosili, aby im viacej neznelo slovo. Nemohli totiž zniesť príkaz, ak sa čo i len zviera dotkne vrchu, nech je ukameňované.
And then read verse 21.
A také strašné bolo to, čo videli, že Mojžiš povedal, som vylakaný a trasiem sa.
Even Moses was terrified when God came down on Mount Sinai.
Dokonca aj Mojžiš bol vylakaný a triasol sa, keď Pán Boh zostúpil na vrch Sinaj.
I am ashamed to tell you that I have preached a sermon about the terrors of Mount Sinai and compared them to the beauty of Mount Calvary. Let me start over again, okay?
Yes.
I have heard and I have preached some Adventist sermons about the terrors of Mount Sinai.
Ja som počul a tiež som kázal niekoľko adventistických kázni o vrchu Sinaj. O tej hrôze.
And my sermons went like this.
A moje kázania boli asi takéto.
On Sinai God appeared as a terrifying lawgiver.
Pán Boh sa tam ukázal na vrchu Sinaj ako hrôzostrašný zákonodárca.
But on Mount Calvary he was the gentle Jesus who died for us.
Ale potom na Golgote sa ukázal ako milujúci Ježiš pre nás.
On Mount Sinai we have the terrifying law.
Na vrchu Sinai sme dostali ten strašný zákon.
And on Mount Calvary we have the grace of God.
A na Golgote sme dostali milosť, Božiu milosť.
If you've ever preached a sermon like that, I advise you pastors, tear it up, rip it up.
Takže kazatelia, ak budete chcieť takúto kázeň kázať, tak radšej to zahodte.
That's a good Lutheran sermon.
Možno by to bolo dobre také luteránske kázanie.
Law of the Old Testament and grace of the New Testament.
Zákon v starom zmluve a milosť a láska v novej zmluve.
But it's not a biblical sermon.
Ale toto nie je biblické posolstvo.
I have come to realize that Mount Sinai has as much grace as Mount Calvary.
Ja som objavil, že vrch Sinaj prináša toľko isto milosti, koľko Golgota.
We have a song in English which we sing called Amazing Grace.
V angličtine máme pieseň Amazing Grace.
You have that song here?
Yes, we have it.
Do you even sing in English maybe? No.
No, okay. In English, but okay.
So,
Father and son.
All right. Okay, all right. They sing in English. Okay, good. Well, I would like to suggest another stanza to that song.
Chcel by som, aby sme k tej piesni niečo pridali.
And I will call it a blazing grace. Not amazing, but a blazing grace.
Takže nie amazing grace, vzácna milosť, ale blahoslavená. Horúca milosť.
I know it doesn't rhyme in Slovakian, but it's the idea. Okay. I would like to share with you the grace that comes from Mount Sinai.
A chcem vám teraz predstaviť, ako milosť prichádza prostredníctvom vrchu Sinaj.
Joanne this morning talked about God as a gracious lawgiver.
Joanne dopoludňa rozprávala o tom, ako Pán Boh je veľký zákonodarca.
And as we look at the story of Mount Sinai, we see this God of grace who gives his law.
A keď sa pozeráme na vrch Sinaj, musíme si uvedomiť, že Boh tam dáva svoju milosť.
Here's my question for tonight. As a teacher, I have to have a question, right? So here's my tonight's question.
Takže dnes večer mám pre vás otázku, pretože ako učiteľ musím klásť otázky.
When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, where did he bring them? Where was he bringing them?
Keď Pán Boh vyviedol svoj ľud z egyptskej zeme, kam ich priviedol?
What was their goal?
Čo bol jeho cieľ?
Yes. Okay. To Mount Sinai. Yes, okay.
Priviedol ich pod vrch Sinaj.
But be more specific.
Buďme ešte detailnejší.
We usually think he was taking them to the promised land, to Canaan.
Obyčajne hovoríme, že ich chcel Pán Boh doviesť do Kanánu.
And that's true.
A to je tiež pravda.
But look at Exodus 19.
Ale pozrite sa do druhej knihy Mojžišovej 19. kapitole.
Verse 4.
4. verš.
You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you, does it say, to Canaan?
Pozrite sa, čo je tu napísané. Sami ste videli, čo som urobil Egypťanom, ako som vás niesol na orlých krídlach a priviedol vás do Kanánu?
No. Does
Nie.
It say to Mount Sinai?
Na vrch Sinaj?
No.
Nie.
Those are both true.
Obidve je pravda.
But when God says it, he says, I have brought you to myself.
Ale keď hovorí Pán Boh hovorí, ja som vás priviedol k sebe.
You see, God, the God of Sinai, is not a stern, cold, distant figure. He's wanting to bring his people to himself.
Boh Sinaja nie je taký strohý, chladný, ale Boh Sinaja je ten, ktorý chce pritiahnuť láskou k sebe.
And in verse 5 he invites them to enter into a special covenant relationship with him.
A chce tiež priviesť svoj ľud do vzťahu zmluvy so sebou.
Now, when you study the literature of the ancient Near East, all the pagan nations around Israel.
Keď študujete, čomu všetkému verili tie pohanské národy v okolí Izraela?
Never in the history of the ancient Near East does a God enter into a covenant with his people.
Nikdy tam nenájdete Boha, ktorý by v tých pohanských náboženstvách spravil zmluvu so svojim ľudom.
This is unique in the entire history of the world, ancient history of the world.
Toto je unikát v celej histórii celého sveta.
God invites his people to come close to him in a personal covenant relationship.
A Pán Boh privádza svoj ľud k sebe, aby s nimi mal úplne osobný vzťah.
In fact, he says, if you join me in the covenant, you will be my special treasure above all the nations.
A on tu hovorí, že ak vstúpite so mnou do zmluvy, budete pre mňa zvláštnym vyvoleným ľudom.
Now you here in Slovakia, you have a border with a German-speaking country, right, of Austria.
Na Slovensku máte hranice s nemecky hovoriacou krajinou, s Rakúskom.
I've talked to some of you who travel to Vienna every day to work and then back again at night.
Viem, že niektorí z vás chodia a cestujú do Viedne každý deň do práce a večer sa vracajú domov.
So probably many of you know some German as well as Slovakian.
Možno niektorí vedia ešte lepšie po nemecky a po slovensky.
My wife is 100% German.
Moja manželka je 100% Nemka.
But she can't speak any German.
ale po nemecky nevie vôbec.
Because her parents, when they came to the United States, they never taught their children German.
Pretože jej rodičia, keď prišli do Spojených štátov, tak svoje deti nikdy neučili po nemecky.
Tragedy, terrible.
To je celá tragédia.
But when I call my wife someone very special, when I use a special name for her, I use a German name.
Keď chcem svoju ženu potešiť, tak používam také zvláštne meno, nemecké.
I call her my Schatzi, meine Schatzi.
Volám ju meine Schatzi.
Those of you who know German, that's my special treasure.
A vy, ktorí viete po nemecky, to znamená môj zvláštny pokladík.
And God is saying to Israel, you are meine Schatzi, you're my special treasure.
Pán Boh tu ako keby Izraelu chcel povedať, vy ste ten môj zvláštny poklad.
So let's read on and see more of God's grace here on Mount Sinai.
A tak sa pozrime ešte na niekoľko ďalších symbolov Božej milosti pod vrchom Sinaj.
Help me to understand this apparent contradiction in the biblical text.
Skúsme uvažovať o zápase s Danielom protiklade, ktorý je v biblickom texte.
In verse 4, God says, I brought you to myself. Right?
V 4. verši Pán Boh hovorí, ja som ťa priviedol k sebe.
And now you read verse 12.
A keď čítate verš 12.
And God says, according to our modern translations usually, you shall set bounds for the people, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up on the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death.
A tu je napísané, vyznač ľudu hranicu okolo vrchu a povedz, neopovažte sa vstúpiť na vrch, alebo prekročiť jeho hranicu. Ktokoľvek sa vrchu dotkne, postihne ho smrť.
Out of one side of his mouth, God says, I brought you close to me.
Na jednej strane Pán Boh hovorí, ja chcem si vás priviesť bližšie k sebe.
And then out of the other side of the mouth, he says, don't come too close or you will die.
A na druhou stranu úst, ako keby Pán Boh povedal, ale nechoďte veľmi blízko, pretože zomriete.
You can't come up on the mountain.
Nesmiete vystúpiť na ten vrch.
I couldn't put those two texts together.
Ťažko je tieto dva verše spojiť.
So I decided to read them in Hebrew.
A tak som sa rozhodol, že si ich musím preštudovať v hebrejčine.
And I found that in the modern translations there is a word added that is not in the Hebrew.
A objavil som, že v tých nových prekladoch je tam vložené akési slovo, ktoré nie je v hebrejčine.
And I checked and it's the same in Slovakian as it is in English if I understand right.
A tak som sa snažil pochopiť, či aj v slovenčine také slovo tam máte.
The word that is not in Hebrew is the word not.
To slovo, ktoré tam je vložené a nie je v hebrejčine, je nie.
Apparently the translators could not understand this unless they added the word that made it the opposite.
Tak prekladatelia, keď to prekladali, tak nevedeli to nejak logicky preložiť a tak si povedali, asi tam patrí to nie.
In Hebrew it reads like this.
Ale v hebrejčine to znie takto.
Take heed to yourselves when you come up the mountain. When you come up the mountain. Not to come up the mountain, but take heed to yourselves when you come up the mountain.
Takže tu je ako keby bolo povedané nie, že nevstúpte, ale vstúpte na ten vrch.
Now it's true. For 3 days they were to prepare to sanctify themselves so they would be ready to meet God.
Tam je, ten text popisuje, že 3 dni mali na to, aby sa pripravili a posvetili, aby sa mohli stretnúť s Bohom.
And so the last part says, whoever touches the mountain during those 3 days of preparation, you're not going to be ready, you're not going to be holy. And so you won't be able to come to a holy God.
A ten text vlastne hovorí, že v priebehu tých 3 dní, keď sa pripravujete na stretnutie s Bohom, nesmiete sa dotknúť toho vrchu, lebo ešte nie ste hotoví stretnúť sa s Bohom.
But what was going to happen on the third day?
Ale pozrite sa, čo sa stalo tretí deň.
They were supposed to hear a sound of a trumpet.
Oni počuli zvuk trúby.
Now look at the last half of verse 13.
Pozrite sa na druhú polovicu verša 13.
When the trumpet sounds, that's talking about the people.
Len keď zaznie zdlhavý tón rohu,
shall do what?
Potom môžu čo?
What does it say in the Slovak version?
náš text hovorí smú vystúpiť na vrch.
Go up the mountain, right? Now in English our translations many are very bad compared to Slovakian.
Takže anglické preklady sú veľmi zlé, slovenský je dobrý.
Like the one I have here, it says they shall come near the mountain.
Anglický preklad hovorí môžu sa priblížiť.
That's not what the text says.
Ale toto nehovorí ten text hebrejský.
It says what your Slovakian version says.
Hovorí to, čo je v slovenskom texte.
On the third day, God says, come on up.
A na tretí deň smú vystúpiť na vrch, hovorí Boh.
He invited them, even though, Jan, there was lightning and thunder, he said, come on up.
Napriek tomu, že tam boli blesky a že tam bola búrka, poďme hore.
Now I have to confess that when we were on the mountain yesterday, we were so close to the top.
Včera, keď sme boli tak blízko pri tom vrchole,
that Jan and I are the daredevils, right? We're the ones who like to take chances.
A my sme mali pokušenie, že sa chytíme tej šance.
And we were saying, we should go up, right?
A tak sme mali pokušenie, poďme.
But then your president, who has more sense than we do.
Ale predseda, ten mal viac asi rozumu.
He said, no, it's too dangerous. We will not go up.
Povedal, chlapci, nejdeme hore, to je moc nebezpečné.
Well, it may be it's dangerous when it's lightning and thunder, but if God says come up, even if there's lightning and thunder, you don't have to be afraid, right?
Tak keď je nejaká búrka, určite to je nebezpečné niekde ísť do na vrch, ale keď Pán Boh hovorí, poďte, napriek tomu, že je búrka a blesky, treba ísť.
But what did the people do?
A čo tí ľudia robili?
It says on the third day, verse 16.
16. verš hovorí,
there were the thunders and the lightnings.
Na úsvite tretieho dňa začalo hrmieť a blískať sa.
The thick cloud on the mountain.
Vlh zahalil hustý oblak.
And the trumpet was very loud.
Zaznel silný zvuk rohu.
And then it says, and the people all went up on the mountain. Is that right?
A teraz všetci ľudia išli na vrch. Áno?
They trembled in the camp.
A tu je napísané, že sa chvel celý tábor strachom.
They didn't have faith to come up and be close to God.
Nemali dostatok viery, aby vstúpili a išli bližšie k Pánu Bohu.
Now, lest you think that I'm interpreting this wrongly, just look at Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 5. Deuteronomy 5, 5.
A teraz ale poďme sa pozrieť do knihy Deuteronomium, do 5. Mojžišovej 5, 5.
Moses is referring back to this time, 40 years earlier. Chapter 5 and verse 5.
5. kapitola, Mojžiš tam znovu pripomína tieto veci, 5. verš.
Moses says, I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up the mountain.
A tu je napísané, ja som vtedy stál medzi Hospodinom a vami, aby som vám oznámil Hospodinovo slovo, lebo ste sa báli ohňa a nevystúpili ste na vrch.
This makes clear that it was God's original intention to invite not just Moses, not just Aaron, but all the people to come up on the mountain to be with him.
A tento text nám vlastne ukazuje, že Božím zámerom nebolo, aby len Mojžiš alebo Áron vystúpili k Bohu, ale že Pán Boh pozýval všetkých, aby vystúpili k Bohu, do Božej prítomnosti.
And as you read the rest of chapter of Exodus 19, they were afraid, and so God says, all right, you better not come up now because you're not sanctified.
A samozrejme v 19. kapitole čítame, že keď Pán Boh videl, ako sa boja, tak povedal v poriadku, je to lepšie, keď ostanete tam, pretože...
And then some of them say, well, now we're gonna come up.
Ale možno niektorí si povedali, tak poďme.
And God says, no, you can't come when you're not sanctified. It will be dangerous for holy and unholy to mix.
Ale Pán Boh hovorí, nie, to by bolo veľmi nebezpečné, pretože ak nie ste posvetení, tak to stretnutie svetosti a neposveteného by bolo nebezpečné.
But here we have a picture of a God who wants to prepare his people and then he invites them to come close to him right on the mountain.
A tu vidíme, ako Pán Boh chce pripraviť svoj ľud a pritiahnuť ho bližšie k sebe, aby vystúpil na ten Boží vrch.
But when they refused to come, did he give up on them?
A keď odmietli vystúpiť, tak sa ich vzdal?
No, he said, okay, if you're too afraid, then I will give my words to you from the mountain. You can stay there.
Nie, Pán Boh sa ich nevzdal, ale Pán Boh povedal, dobre, v poriadku, ak sa bojíte, tak ja budem hovoriť s vami prostredníctvom toho slova.
And that brings us to the most famous chapter in the books of Moses, the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20.
A potom prichádza Exodus 20. kapitola, tie najznámejšie slova, ktoré Mojžiš priniesol, desatoro Božích prikázaní.
Now I want to speak specifically to those who have been Sabbath school teachers, children's Sabbath school teachers.
A teraz by som chcel prehovoriť k tým, ktorí učia deti v detskej sobotnej škole.
When you taught the Ten Commandments to your students, where did you start in Exodus 20?
Keď učíte desatoro Božích prikázaní, kde začínate ten príbeh?
Or I can ask all of you who have learned the Ten Commandments, what are the first words you say?
Dobre, poviete, učíme 10 Božích prikázaní, ale čo je to prvé, čo poviete?
Do you start with, thou shalt have no other gods before me?
Začnite s tým, nebudeš mať iných bohov predo mnou.
If you start there, you miss the grace of God in the Ten Commandments.
Ak začnete priamo tuná, tak ste zanedbali tú Božiu milosť, ktorá je vyjadrená v desatoru.
Because that's not the start of God's words from Mount Sinai.
Pretože toto nie je počiatok Božej reči z vrchu Sinai.
It starts in verse 2.
Božia reč začína v druhom verši.
I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the house of bondage, out of the land of Egypt.
Ja som Hospodin, tvoj Boh, ktorý som ťa vyviedol z Egypta, z domu otrokov.
I've redeemed you! You are my people, you're saved by the blood of the lamb.
Ja som vás zachránil, vy ste môj ľud a ja som vás očistil krvou baránka.
This verse makes all the difference.
Tento verš všetko mení.
The law is not something we do in order to win God's favor.
Zákon nie je niečo, čo my robíme, aby sme si zaslúžili Božiu milosť.
The law is addressed to people that have already been saved by grace.
Zákon je určený ľuďom, ktorí už boli spasení milosťou.
The law is nothing less than 10 promises to God's saved people.
Zákon nie je nič viac ako 10 zaslúbení, ktoré Pán Boh dá svojmu ľudu.
Now I read this first in the writings of Ellen White.
A ja som to čítal, keď som to čítal prvýkrát v spisoch Ellen Whiteovej.
She says this, the Ten Commandments are 10 promises.
Ona hovorí, 10 prikázaní je 10 zaslúbení.
She goes on to say, there is not a negative in this law, although it may appear to be.
Nič negatívne tam nie je.
And so I said, okay, how can we see these as 10 promises?
A ja som si hovoril, ako to môžem vidieť v tom 10 zaslúbení.
So then I went again to the Hebrew, to the original Hebrew.
A tak zase som sa vrátil do tej hebrejčiny originálnej.
I started looking at the grammatical structure of the Ten Commandments.
A tak som študoval tú štruktúru, ako je to napísané.
And then I went to the Hebrew grammar to see what it said about this structure.
A potom som študoval hebrejskú gramatiku, aby som pochopil, aká je štruktúra toho textu.
And I found out that the Ten Commandments can be translated either as prohibitions or as promises.
A tak som pochopil, že tie prikázania môžu byť preložené aj ako zákazy, ale aj ako zasľúbenia.
You can translate it like this.
Môžete to preložiť aj takto.
Thou shalt not have any other gods before me.
Nebudeš mať žiadnych iných bohov predo mnou.
A negative prohibition.
S negatívnym takým prízvukom.
Or you can translate it like this.
Ale môžete to aj takto preložiť.
I promise you, you will not want to have any other gods before me.
Zasľubujem ti, že nebudeš musieť mať žiadnych bohov namiesto mňa.
I promise you, you will not want to kill, you will not want to steal, you will not want to commit adultery.
Zasľubujem ti, že nebudeš musieť zabíjať, nebudeš musieť smilniť, nebudeš musieť.
Both are accurate translations.
A obidva tie preklady sú presné.
If you start with only verse 3, then it simply becomes cold prohibition law.
Ale keď začnete čítať len tým od toho tretieho verša, tak vám to vyzerá ako zákon plný zákazov.
But if you start with verse 2, with God's grace that precedes the law.
Ale keď začnete čítať od toho druhého verša, tak vidíte tam v tom Božiu milosť.
Then it's God's 10 gracious promises to give us power to live a life of relationship with him.
A teda vidíme desatoro ako 10 milostivých zasľúbení, ktoré nám Pán Boh dáva z lásky.
You know, last time I spoke, I didn't ask a question. So I get two questions tonight. Is that okay?
Posledný krát, keď som hovoril, tak nebol čas na otázky, takže teraz dve otázky.
Here's the second question.
A je tu druhá otázka.
Where in the Bible does God call himself gracious?
Kde v Biblii Pán Boh sám seba nazýva milostivý?
I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. It's four times. Four times he does it.
Štyrikrát to je tam.
Where do you think they are?
Kde si myslíte, že to je?
All four places are Mount Sinai.
Všetky štyri výskyty sa nachádzajú na vrchu Sinaj.
The place where you think it's the God of terror, it's the place where God says, I'm gracious.
A na tom mieste, kde Pán Boh je predstavený ako hrôzostrašný, je Pán Boh predstavený ako ten, ktorý je milostivý.
Look at Exodus 22.
Pozrite sa do 22. kapitoly 2. Mojžišovej.
Verse 26 and 27.
26 až 27.
If you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down, for that is his only covering. It is his garment for his skin. What will he sleep in? And it will be that when he cries to me, I will hear. Now read that much.
Veď tým plášťom si jedinou prikryvkou chráni telo. V čom by spal? Ak bude volať ku mne, vypočujem ho.
Because?
Pretože?
I am gracious.
Pretože ja som milosrdný.
Wow. Right in the heart of these laws here, of the judgments that he gives, God is saying, I'm gracious.
Uprostred všetkých tých zákonov, ktoré tam Pán Boh vymenováva, takých praktických, on hovorí, ja som milostivý.
Okay, as long as I'm asking questions, I'll ask a third one.
Teraz ešte sa spýtam tretiu.
God says in the Old Testament, I am. And then he says two things about himself.
Keď Pán Boh hovorí, ja som, v starej zmluve, tak hovorí o sebe dve veci.
Two qualities that he gives that describes himself.
Dvoma vlastnosťami sám seba opisuje.
What are those two?
Ktoré to sú?
I am gracious, that's this one.
Ja som milosrdný, to je tá prvá.
And the other one is I am holy.
A tá druhá je ja som svätý.
And that will be our theme on Friday. Joanne will be sharing about the holiness of God.
A v piatok budeme hovoriť o Božej svetosti.
Sinai does show us a holy God, yes.
Sinai nám predstavuje svätého Boha. Tak je to.
But tonight I'm looking at his gracious qualities that he highlights on this special mountain.
Ale dnes si chceme všimnúť práve tú charakteristiku tej milosti.
When we go to Exodus 24.
Pozrite sa do 24. kapitoly
Exodus. God tells Moses and Aaron and the 70 elders, come on up to the Lord.
A Mojžiš a Aaron a tí starší sú pozývaní, aby vystúpili hore.
And God enters into a covenant with them there on top of Mount Sinai.
Pán Boh chce vstúpiť do zmluvy na vrchole hory Sinai.
We read in verse 9 and 10, Exodus 24, 9 and 10.
Exodus 2. kniha Mojžišova 24, 9 a 10.
It describes that Moses goes up with the 70 elders and they see God there.
Tam je napísané, ako Mojžiš vystúpil so 70 staršími spomedzi Izraela a uvideli Boha Izraela.
And then in verse 11, the end of verse 11, it says they saw God and they ate and they drank.
A tu je napísané dokonca, že hoci ho uzreli, Pán Boh nepozdvihol ruku a potom jedli a pili.
What does it mean in the Old Testament times to eat and drink with someone?
Čo to znamená v starozmluvnej dobe s niekým jesť a piť?
It means to enter into a special covenant relationship.
To znamená vstúpiť do zmluvného vzťahu.
It still means that today in the land of the Bible lands.
V biblických, zemiach, v tej oblasti až dodnes to znamená stále to isté.
One of my colleagues at Andrews University went to the country of Lebanon a few years ago when the Hezbollah were very strong, the rebels there in Lebanon.
Jeden z mojich kolegov z Andrewsovej univerzity bol v Libanone práve v tom období, kedy tam bola veľmi napätá situácia, rebeli tam boli.
And he wanted to visit this archaeological site that was right in the middle of the Hezbollah rebels.
A chcel navštíviť jednu archeologickú lokalitu, ale tá bola v strede toho tábora, kde bolo to hnutie Hezbollah.
And this was especially the time when the Hezbollah really hated Americans.
A to bolo v čase, kedy tí ľudia z Hezbollah veľmi nenávideli Američanov.
So he was almost to the site when the Hezbollah found him and captured him.
A už bol skoro tam, keď tí ľudia z tohoto hnutia ho našli a ho chytili.
And when they found out he was an American, they said, "We will kill you."
A keď zistili, že Američan, tak mu povedali, my ťa zabijeme.
So my friend prayed, "Lord, what can I do?"
A on sa modlil a hovorí, Pane Bože, čo môžem urobiť?
And God impressed him to say this.
A Pán Boh mu dal takúto myšlienku, aby toto povedal.
"Well, if you're going to kill me, at least let me have some food so I can die having had a good meal before I die."
A on povedal, no viete čo, skôr ako ma zabijete, dovolte mi, aby ešte som sa dobre najedol.
So they said, okay.
A oni povedali, dobre, v poriadku.
They took him to their tent, to the Bedouin tent there.
A tak ho tam zavreli do takého stanu.
They gave him some bread and some grape juice.
A dali mu nejaký chlieb a nejakú hroznovú šťavu.
And then they said, "We have eaten with you."
A on povedal, no ale
"We have eaten with you. This means we have made a covenant with you. We cannot kill you now."
A oni povedal, no dobre, ale však my sme teraz s tebou jedli a to už teraz sme v zmluve, už ťa nemôžeme zabiť.
So they let him go.
A tak ho nechali odísť.
Well, God was not trying to kill his people. He was wanting to eat with them to show this special relationship.
Keď tu je napísané v Biblii, že Pán Boh jedol so svojim ľudom, to znamená, že on s nimi vstupoval do zmluvy.
And then he asked the people to enter into this covenant relationship. Potom
pozýva, aby všetok ľud vstúpil do tejto zmluvy.
And verse 7, read verse 7.
Verš 7.
Verse 7 and 8.
Potom vzal knihu zákona, knihu zmluvy a nahlas z nej čítal ľudu, ktorý vyhlásil: "Poslušne splníme všetko, čo povedal Hospodin." Na to Mojžiš vzal krv, pokropil ňou ľud a povedal: "Toto je krv zmluvy, ktorú s vami uzavrel Hospodin podľa všetkých týchto slov."
Was this a valid covenant that the people made with God? Was this valid? A valid covenant?
Bola toto veľmi cenná zmluva, ktorú Pán Boh podpísal?
Yes or no? How many think yes? How many
prijal
think no?
So svojim ľudom? Kto si myslíte, že bola?
Was it right? Was it the right words they said? You think so? Okay. Was this a valid covenant from God's side?
Bola to zmluva z Božej strany? Platná?
It was ratified by blood, right? By the blood of the sacrifice.
A veď tá zmluva bola potvrdená krvou obete.
It pointed to Jesus, who would be the Lamb of God that would die for their sins.
Táto zmluva poukazovala na Ježiša, ktorý svoju krv prinesie za hriechy.
Were their words of response correct? All that the Lord has spoken, we will do?
Bola tá odpoveď toho ľudu správna, keď povedali, všetko budeme robiť?
The words were correct.
Tie slova boli správne.
Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5.
Pozrite sa do 5. Mojžišovej, 5. kapitoly.
Verse 27.
A 27. verš, 5. Mojžišova 5, 27.
And 28.
A 28.
Read those two verses, please.
Priblíž sa k nemu ty a vypočuj všetko, čo bude hovoriť Hospodin náš Boh. Ty nám potom vyrozprávaš všetko, čo ti povie Hospodin náš Boh, a to si vypočujeme a splníme.
God says they said the right words, right?
Pán Boh to povedal veľmi jasnými slovami.
But what about their heart? What about their attitude?
Ale čo ich srdce a čo ich vzťah?
They thought they could do it on their own power.
A oni si asi začali myslieť, že to sú schopní urobiť vo svojej vlastnej sile.
They had not yet learned to trust in Christ as their savior.
A oni sa nenaučili dôverovať Kristovi ako svojmu spasiteľovi.
So in the next verse, verse 29, God says, "Oh that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments and it would be well with them and with their children." Deuteronomy 5:29.
5. Mojžišova 5. kapitola 29. verš. Kto im to vnúkol, kiež by mali vždy také srdce, aby sa ma báli a zachovávali všetky moje príkazy po všetky dni, aby sa navždy dobre vodilo im a ich deťom.
So God accepted the right words, even though they didn't understand everything about the gospel.
Pán Boh prijíma tie správne slova aj vtedy, keď nerozumieme celkom tomu evanjeliu.
And in his grace, he accepted them where they were and led them closer to himself.
A vo svojej milosti ich prijímal takých, akí boli a viedol ich bližšie k sebe.
Then we come to several chapters, chapters 25 all the way to 31, where it describes Moses on the mountain receiving instruction from God.
A potom nasledujú kapitoly 25 až 31, kde je popísané, ako Mojžiš je na vrchu Sinaj a dostáva tie rôzne inštrukcie od Pána Boha.
And what is Moses shown on the mountain?
A čo videl Mojžiš na tom vrchu?
The sanctuary.
Svätyňu.
And he's taught about the plan of salvation in type and antitype, the great plan of salvation centered in the Lamb of God.
A tam mu bol predstavený plán spasenia a ten typ a antityp toho plánu spasenia a obeť.
Another picture of God's grace.
Ďalší obraz Božej milosti.
In the plan of salvation.
V pláne spasenia.
Meanwhile, what's happening down at on the plain of Arah?
A čo sa to dialo zatedy na tej planine?
The people get impatient and wonder where Moses has gone.
A tí ľudia stratili trpezlivosť a povedali si, nevieme, čo sa s tým Mojžišom stalo.
So the text says they rose up to play.
A potom je tam popísané, že povstali, aby sa hrali.
And the language of the original Hebrew means more than just play. It's sexual play.
Ten hebrejský originálny jazyk nehovorí len, že sa hrali, ale že to boli sexuálne hry.
It's idolatrous play.
A to boli modlárske hry.
And they built this golden calf.
A urobili si to zlaté tela.
And when Moses comes down off the mountain, you know the story.
A potom, keď Mojžiš zostupuje z vrchu, poznáte ten príbeh.
He breaks those tablets of the covenant.
Zlomil tie dosky zmluvy.
He asks, who is on the Lord's side?
A povedal, kto je na Božej strane?
And everyone who had done wrong, if they were willing to repent, they were able to receive forgiveness.
A všetci tí, ktorí boli pripravení činiť pokánie, tak dostali odpustenie.
Me the most amazing thing about this, two things. Moses went back to intercede with God.
Pre mňa to najzaujímavejšie na tom sú dve veci. Mojžiš je vo vzťahu k Bohom, s Bohom.
Do you remember what Moses said?
Viete, čo Mojžiš povedal?
God, if you can't forgive them without someone dying, then let me die. Let me die instead of your people.
Mojžiš hovorí, Pane Bože, ak im nemôžeš odpustiť, tak radšej nech ja zomriem na miesto môjho ľudu.
Not just the first death. He says, blot my name out of the book of life. Let me die the second death if necessary.
Tam nešlo o prvú smrť, ale on hovorí, vymaž moje meno zo svojej knihy, a to znamená druhú smrť, ak je to nutné.
Here we see another picture into the Moses as a type of Christ.
A tu vidíte Mojžiša ako symbol Krista.
Who actually did die the second death. He felt eternal separation from his father.
Ktorý skutočne zomrel druhou smrťou a večným odlúčením od svojho otca pre nás.
The other amazing thing about this scene is what happened to Aaron.
A potom to, čo je druhé prekvapivé, je, čo sa stalo Aaronovi.
Aaron is the one that supervised the making of the golden calf.
Aaron sa stáva tým, ktorý vlastne pomáha vytvoriť to zlaté telo.
But he repents.
Ale on potom činí pokánie.
And God forgives him.
A Pán Boh mu odpúšťa.
And not only forgives him,
a nielen, že mu odpúšťa,
Aaron becomes the high priest.
Ale urobí ho najvyšším kňazom.
The most holy person in all of Israel, the only one who could go into the very presence of God.
Tá najsvätejšia osobnosť v starom Izraeli, ten, ktorý prichádzal do Božej prítomnosti.
That's grace.
A toto je milosť.
And then Moses goes up one more time.
A potom Mojžiš ide hore druhýkrát.
And he longs to get even closer to God.
A on chce ísť ešte bližšie do Božej prítomnosti.
And he goes up for the seventh time in just a few weeks. Seventh time.
V priebehu niekoľkých týždňov už siedmikrát tam vystúpil.
Now the only one that I know of that could do that when he's going to be 80 years old will be Jacek. Maybe he'll do it when he's 80. He'll go seven times up Mount Sinai.
Sedemkrát vyliezť na tento kopec v 80-ke, tak to možno Jacek by zvládol.
He's an old man, but he's been up this mountain seven times in just a few weeks.
V priebehu niekoľkých týždňov sedemkrát vystúpil na ten kopec.
And now he says, God, I want to come really close. Can I see your glory?
A on hovorí, Pane Bože, ja teraz chcem úplne blízko k Tebe ísť. Môžem vidieť Tvoju slávu?
And God says, of course, I'll let you see all that it's possible for a human to see without self-destructing.
A Pán Boh hovorí, samozrejme, ja chcem urobiť, aby si videl to, čo je možné, aby si videl bez toho, aby ťa to zničilo.
And so we read in Exodus 34 and verse 5.
A tak v 34. kapitole 2. knihy Mojžišovej v 5. verši.
Then the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses and proclaimed his character, his name, verse 5.
V 5. verši.
Exodus 34 verse 5.
2. Mojžišova 34:5. Keď Hospodin zostúpil v oblaku, Mojžiš sa tam k nemu postavil a vzýval meno Hospodina.
And here in these next two verses we have the most precise, concise and complete picture of God's graciousness of anywhere in the Bible.
A tu nám máme ten najúplnejší a najdokonalejším spôsobom predstavenú Božiu milosť v celej Biblii, ten 6. a 7. verš.
Let's read together, verse 6. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed.
Hospodin prechádzal pred ním a volal.
The Lord God.
Hospodin, Hospodin.
Merciful and gracious.
Milostivý a láskavý.
Long-suffering.
Zhovievavý.
And abounding in goodness and truth.
Veľmi milostivý a verný Boh.
Keeping mercy for thousands.
Preukazuje milosť tisícom.
And that doesn't mean just thousands of people, but thousands of generations is the implication of the original language.
To neznamená len množstvo, že tisícom ľudí, ale tisícom generácií ľudstva.
And then he goes on to describe God's justice as well, that he will not forgive sin for those who don't confess.
Ale tu sa nehovorí len o spravodlivosti, ale tiež aj o odpustení tým, ktorí vyznávajú.
Tomorrow morning we're going to stop, we're going to come back to this passage and look at each one of these words and see the beauty of God's character there.
A zajtra ráno budeme pokračovať a každé z tých slov rozoberieme, aby sme uvažovali o Božom charaktere.
And later on, in the later part of chapter 34, God gives Moses another 10 commandments, a second 10 commandments.
A v ďalšia pasáž hovorí o tom, že Pán Boh dal Mojžišovi druhé dosky zákona.
We don't have time to look at all of those second 10 commandments.
Teraz nemáme čas to celé študovať.
But they are centered in the sanctuary service.
Ale tieto sú zamerané na službu vo svätyni.
And God says to Moses, in effect, my people will be able to obey the Ten Commandments on the stone because of the sanctuary service, because of Jesus, their Savior.
Pán Boh ako keby chcel povedať, môj ľud dokáže rešpektovať desatoro Božích prikázaní vďaka službe vo svätyni.
So then Moses comes down from the mountain.
A tak Mojžiš zostupuje z vrchu.
And his face is shining.
a jeho tvár žiari.
Why?
Prečo?
Because he's seen the Lord? Yes.
Pretože videl Pána.
And Ellen White tells us specifically because he's heard about the gospel connected with the law. The law and the gospel going together.
Sestra Vetová hovorí, že tam sa milosť a zákon stretli.
And he announces, he tells the people what God had told him up on Mount Sinai.
A čo povedal Pán Boh im pod tým Sinajom?
And the people now, what did they say?
Čo povedali tí ľudia teraz?
Not a word. They're silent.
Boli ticho, nepovedali ani slovo.
And Moses simply says, God has told us to build a sanctuary.
A Mojžiš jednu vec, čo povedal, Pán Boh nám odkázal, aby sme mu postavili svätyňu.
And we need gold and we need silver and we need bronze and we need all these other materials.
A my budeme potrebovať zlato, strieblo, bronz a všetky tie ďalšie materiály.
These people don't say all that the Lord has said we will do.
Ľudia vtedy nepovedali, že čo povedal Pán Boh, všetko ideme robiť.
They just start bringing to the sanctuary, bringing to God.
Ale rovno začali prinášať všetko toto pre Pána Boha.
And finally Moses has to say, no, don't bring any more, you brought too much.
Až do tej situácie, že Mojžiš musel povedať, už ďalej nenoste, lebo už ste donosili moc.
They were giving not because they had to, but because of a heart of gratitude that had been melted by God's grace.
A oni prichádzali práve preto, že to ich srdce sa roztopilo, bolo naplnené Božou milosťou.
I invite you to experience that same experience tonight.
A ja si prajem, chcem vás pozvať, aby ste dnes večer zažili tú istú skúsenosť.
We have beheld the blazing grace of God on Mount Sinai.
Aby sme prijali tú Božiu milosť, ktorá k nám prichádza z vrchu Sinaj.
We have seen his law mixed with his gospel.
A videli sme Boží zákon spojený s evanjeliom.
He invites you to respond with a heart of gratitude.
A on nás vyzýva, aby naše srdce bolo naplnené vďačnosťou.
Amen.
Amen.